Morning. Anthony threatened, he was gonna preach from the back of the church today, but we said we would all run up to the front to go back. Just a few reminders, you'll see that up at the very top, if you love the full chicken and diced chicken, I have eight rotisserie chickens in the refrigerator. And if you're gracious in helping out with the Shutting Hills, just pull the chicken apart, dice it up, put a freezer bag and freeze it, and bring it to church next Sunday. So I've got eight of them over there, if anybody wants to help out with that. Session meeting tomorrow night, elders, you have paperwork in your mailboxes over in the fire room. And always remember, Anthony's in the office on Thursday from 9 to 12:30. Our hearts and stuff go out, but it's not our day, that you are here today. Gertie's not here today. Keep her in prayers. John Kendrick did pass away, which was a very close friend to her and her family, more like a half-brother to her. And so she is over this morning at Heartland Church. They're having a memorial service there at the church with him, the Kendrick family and stuff. So she is there today. And thank you. Plus for me right now, Joy Dykes is in the war home, so if you can, go by and visit with her. She appreciates the invitation. Jay is saying that she's probably going to be there for about 40 days, so hopefully you can get through her rehab and stuff. She did have some other complications on top of the hip surgery, and so now they've got her back to a war home. I'll do one more and I'll let you have it. Committees. It is that time of the year. If you are available to help out in any form or fashion, I'm going to keep throwing that out from March of 4. Elders, active or non-active, sign up for communion. We figured if every elder in our church who is actively able to do communion signed up at least 2 Sundays a year, we would have communion taken care of. We're looking for people to help out with preparation on communion morning, so you could come in at 10 o'clock in the morning and prepare the bread and the juice. And then any other committee in the church is also looking for help. Facilities and buildings and grounds, always need help with light bulb changes or any little type of things like that. Looking out with lawn mowing services and cleaning services and stuff. Church ministry, it's a year-long thing. Throughout Armored Youth and Christian education, and family ministries or adult ministries, there is a wide range of just things that come throughout the year on that. Lent's coming up, so you'll be preparing Lentil devotional stuff. So if you have any area in the church that you have a passion for, call the church office and I'll direct you to the elder is over that and see what areas can help, and we will let Betty roll with missions. But don't forget, Blueout is next Sunday, which will be our day to commemorate certain programs, and we're going to be bringing items in from FL. So we already have some hats from Ms. Allsall, some jeans and stuff for our men brought in, so we already have a collection of stuff and some jeans that have been brought in this morning. So we will get that all over to FL soon. So you'll be in it for mission.
I'm in it for mission. I want somebody to turn me if I go over, I want to stand on the buzzer. You know, our causes are Anchor House, Bethel Homes, Local Ministry, Chapel International, Homeless Seniors, Marion Shallow Wells, and Thornwell. And if you want to give me, go to one of these specific causes, just mark it and Mike will make sure it gets to the right place. All right, so we've got 2 worldwide missions, 2 state, and 2 local. So to meet our goal, I announced last week over the luncheon, realistically, we need to get $300 a week beginning last Sunday, this Sunday, and 11 more Sundays, or $1,300 for the next 3 months. Marilyn's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks, so if we are on a good roll, I'm going to have her stand up here. All right, so the Blue Outside Wendy Mansion, or next Sunday, and then going well on March 10th at Anchor House on April 11th, and Dr. Joe Davis is going to be here, and he's going to preach, and we're going to send him back the 5 of the did last year, all those folks to pull up. Did I go over in it?
No.
Thank you.
Good morning. Let us read responsively from the bulletin. Called by God, we have come to worship.
Called by Christ, we have come to follow.
Called by the Spirit, we have come to rejoice.
Called together, we will listen and pray.
Now let us stand and sing hymn 263, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Now let us read together our morning prayer. Master, we have worked all day and night for many months and years. We yearn for a heavy catch, a full church, an abundant feast. Forgive us, God, when we are too tired to cast our nets one time, when we are too stubborn to do things a little differently. Have mercy on us. When we are too afraid to dive into deep waters and take a risk, grant us grace that we may proclaim your word, work for your kingdom, and trust your promises. Amen.
This is a day of rejoicing because in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. And on this beautiful Sunday, do we have any joys in the congregation? Any joys? been a bad week, huh? No, just kidding. Any updates, any concerns than those that were mentioned earlier? Yes. Good. Good. Anybody else? Yes.
Last week I asked for prayers for it's our son-in-law's father. His name is John Fanning. And he did have a blockage, and is having bypass surgery on Friday.
Okay. Anyone else? My sister, yes. Back here.
One good thing, Andrew's MRI came back good.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Well, we are rejoicing over that today, yes. And my sister's on the prayer list because she's looking for a new job, and she's got an interview this Wednesday, so that's the reason why I put her on there, because she said, please put my name on the prayer list. So anyway, I like that. That was a crisis in her life. Anybody else? Well, if not, today we'll say debts and debtors in the Lord's Prayer. Oh, gracious God, we give thanks that we can turn to you on anything, any issue, any problem we have, any illness, whatever it is, we know you are there and you will listen to us and you will act upon it. We pray, O Lord, we thank you for the abundant life you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for those, Lord, on our prayer list, particularly Gertie at this time in the loss of a friend. We remember those, Lord, John Kendrick. We remember the Harper families, and we remember Kathy Hutchison and Dwayne and Wendy and Joy in Virginia. We look and praise, Lord, that you will be with them and they're holding their hands. We also remember our mission projects in the church. Bless the people who will be recipients of it and bless those who give. This we pray through the name of Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh,
our offertory. Please give as the Lord requests. Lord, we give our offering to you today, and we are thankful that it can be used for so many things, from missions to the upkeep of the church to just blessing people in our community. All this we pray through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we are in the Old Testament of the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, and two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, here am I, send me. Well, this is a second Sunday of the month, and we're kind of in this in-between time between Christmas and Easter, and, you know, things seem to be a little bit on the subdued and laid-back side. And I was thinking about last Sunday, reminded me of a preacher I knew who stood before an almost empty sanctuary, only to view the many vacant pews and the sparse crowd in attendance. Believe it or not, was just one young man and three elderly ladies sitting out there in the congregation, so the attendance was really down. The minister prayed, I give thanks, O God, that there are at least a handful of us who have made the effort to come to hear the word of God preached and still consider you more important than the Super Bowl. Suddenly, those three ladies in the back pew jumped at me, oh no, we forgot about the Super Bowl, and dashed out of the church. So I was thinking, thank the Lord we didn't have that happen last Sunday, you know. But anyway, you know, it's amazing. You know, occasionally we may wonder, could there be something better to do right now than to attend church? Well, when I drove in today, I saw a lot of people jogging. And I said to somebody, I said, you know, I wish I could have had a lasso. I would have rounded them up, you know. Because a lot of people you will see anymore on Sundays, they do a lot of other things there like it. Well, you know, we do think there's housework to be done at home, ball games to watch, and websites to surf. And what motivates us to abandon those secondary activities in order to make worship a priority? You know, some people come to church because they're seeking God and need loving. Perhaps you all do this morning, some of you. Sometimes we are come to church because we're forced to be here. You know, as children, we didn't really have an option to stay at home and not attend church. I know if I'd have told my mother and dad, I think I'm going to stay in bed today. I don't feel like going. I would have said it, but that would have been the last time. Because Sunday school and church went hand in hand. Unfortunately, church has become an option because of the many extracurricular athletic events scheduled on Sunday. And it can't be helped a lot of times. I mean, students are involved with soccer or baseball or softball or basketball. I mean, they're held on Sundays anymore. So we have competition out there. But I think it's interesting how Isaiah began this chapter on an interesting note. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Well, you know, perhaps a more updated version could be, in the year the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, I worshiped God. In the year that Kennedy was assassinated, I worshiped God. In the year of 9/11, I worshiped God. In the year I was married or my children were born or just in the midst of crisis, either good or bad, I worshiped God. To truly worship, we bring emotional baggage, both positive and negative, seek God's comfort and guidance. I've always thought people have said, well, you know, I'd come to church, but I don't feel worthy. Or I don't take the Lord's Supper because I'm not worthy. Well, if you come right down to it, none of us are really worthy, are we? We're not really worthy. So I look at those wannabe martyrs and victims and say, hey, that's the reason you should come to church. Because God wants us to be here so we can experience God's love. But why do people stay away? Well, you know, they make good excuses for that. But intentional worship, remember, is something that happens as a part of our faith journey. Yes, God is always here. God is everywhere, really. But God is here. But, you know, we have to sometimes put feet on our faith, don't we? And join God together with fellow Christians come together. Sincere worship always centers itself upon God. For contemporary 21st century Christians, there's a word that's missing out of a lot of our worship, out of a lot of our own lives, and it's called reverence. Reverence toward God seems to be the biggest loser. Well, we know in recent years, shoddy theology and bargain basement worship has divided God into a little buddy or someone to pal around with on Sundays. We have forgotten what it means to be in God's presence with a sense of wonder, and again with an attitude of reverence too. To be aware of the sovereignty of God, the Bible describes this experience as one of wonder and beauty combined. Why? Remember we prayed something a little while ago in our prayer confession as it was recited. What continues after that prayer confession? Well, the answer is found in the assurance of pardon and forgiveness through God's grace. We should be reminded that God forgives us. God forgives us. But we can take that home with us. We can take that home with us, that God forgives us. We don't have to jump through hoops of fire because God's grace is always there. But we make a big effort. We make it hey, God's already got it taken care of through Jesus Christ. So what's the big deal? It's because sometimes we try to climb the rope when we don't even have to. Isaiah became aware of the holiness of God, which moved him to discover his own shortcomings and admit his sins too. You know, our own confession should lead us to seek forgiveness of sin. It's like receiving the Lord's Supper. Now, some people will say, well, that's a tack on to the worship service, or it's just something we do either every month or every 3 months or every Sunday, and, well, you know, take it or leave it. I look at the Lord's Supper, and I know last Sunday was the Lord's Supper, but I'll bring this in, that the Lord's Supper to me is a time of repentance. It's a time to think about and reflect upon what God through Jesus Christ has done in my life. It's a time I can lay everything down before God through the sacrament of the bread and through the juice. Think about that when you take the Lord's Supper the next time. Think about how God, through Jesus Christ, prepared this just specifically. One of the things specifically, not for just our spiritual nourishment, but also for us to take a time to seek repentance. To seek repentance. Remember that the next time you participate in the Lord's Supper. And Isaiah was very aware of that. You know, in Isaiah, this heavenly creature, you know, we don't really know. It's probably one of the different angels in heaven, allegorically took a hot coal and touched the lips of the prophet as a gesture that declared his sins were forgiven. But I was thinking, I was grilling the other night, and I've got a charcoal grill. I said, I would hate for one of those charcoal briquettes to touch my lips. You know, and you know, I mean, I know I was taking it in a literal fashion, but you think about that, that would make you awaken to what's going on. But Isaiah did become aware that he fell very short of God. Worship, a lot of times, you know, a lot of times we know through God, worship can be something much more meaningful than it has been before. Is that our lives, and one of the reasons our lives are changed for the better. Our lives are changed for the better. No longer do we have to rely upon a temple or a priest to sacrifice a couple hundred cows or whatever it is, or sheep or goats or whatever. We have something even far better, that's Jesus Christ. We must remember that. Christ is our hope and our only hope. And so worship at its best motivates us to roll up our sleeves and to please God. Remember, you know, a lot of church bulletins, and I've seen it, use the phrase, enter to worship, depart to serve. In the Greek Bible, the New Testament, I'm not that pretentious to bring my Greek New Testament in the pulpit, but it's the word for worship is practically the same as service. Think about that. And what is the Greek for deacon? Diakono, servant, to serve. So in reality, we're all deacons, or should be, or at least should adhere to that idea. But I have know some people that, you know, if you dropped a teaspoon on the floor, they would expect you to pick it up. Now, I understand if you have arthritis, don't get me wrong. But the thing is, a lot of times, We don't have that serving or servant mentality. We expect the other person to do it. Think about that. Now, does that mean you have to do something every day? Not necessarily. But it's important that you keep that in mind whenever that opportunity comes up, that you are more than willing and have a free heart to do so. Because a lot of times we don't know when events may happen that God will call upon us to do something, to assist somebody in need. And you know, truthfully, we cannot have worship without service, nor enter the sanctuary to worship without departing into the world to serve. For the prophet Isaiah, he emphasized the importance of ultimate devotion to God. But remember, it didn't just apply to Isaiah. It didn't apply to the person sitting next to you. It applies to each of you. For you. Perhaps there is someone that we know, or even it could be a complete stranger who's not attending church but ought to be invited to McLeod Memorial Presbyterian Church next Sunday. You know, don't be shy or backward due to the lack of courage. Remember out of Romans it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So sometime you see somebody hurting or in need. Yes, if they need food or clothing, shelter, whatever it is, provide it for them. But also provide some spiritual side to maybe they do need a church home. You know, and I've shared this with some of you before. I always like the Salvation Army motto, soup them, soap them, and save them. That's the Salvation Army motto. So sometimes we leave one or two of those factors out. We need to unite those three together. Because James says, you know, you send somebody be warm and spirit-filled, but you don't help them out. Hey, it's not going to work too well. It's not going to work too well there. So one of the main reasons we come to church is to discern the answer to the question, what happens when church is concluded, and what may we do to serve God better? Now, some of you will say, well, I served God in 1995, and I think that's enough. No, that's not the case. Service to God is a continual thing. It's not something that you sit on and brag about that you did it 25, 30 years ago. It's something that you can do this very moment. St. Paul asked the Lord the following question on his road to Damascus conversion. And I have found something very interesting. It only appears in the King James translation. And it said in Acts 9:6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If we ask God that every day in our devotion time, in our Bible reading, you know, God will do something. And you'll say, well, I don't really feel up to it. Well, you know what? God will help you. Whatever it is, God's not going to have you do something that you can't do. God's going to particularly, you know, like you get some people have their clothes tailor-made. Well, God tailor-makes our faith for us. You don't have the same faith as your spouse or your parents or your children. God uniquely has created your faith for yourself. Think about that. Think about it. You can't wear somebody else's shoes if they're one size too small or one size too big. Faith comes according to how God fits us in it. Think about that. Your faith is so unique. And God can use you, and God can use you for greatness. So don't think you have to imitate anybody. God will give you that inspiration to go right ahead and do that. Well, what may God be calling you to do this week? Well, I don't know. I don't even know what God wants me to do. You know, a lot of times, and I've shared this with people, when I preach a sermon, I have to live it the following week because sooner or later something will come up and I'll have to take that step out. It will happen. I guarantee it'll happen this week sometime because God will call us to do something. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but God will call us to do something and it will always be good. Now you say, well, I dread that. Well, you know, the dread, once you get through it, you know, there's nothing to it. There's a saying goes 99% of our worries and fears never come into reality. Think of, how many worries and fears do you have right now? Just think, when you cross that hump or that mountaintop, you'll see that, hey, looking back, it wasn't so bad, was it? It wasn't so bad. But we need to allow God to hold on to us and be reminded that God does embrace us. God embraced Isaiah here. God showed what Isaiah needed, and God was very gracious to Isaiah. So whatever God calls you to do, the job description has remained the same for 2,000 years as commanded by Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. That's what it's all about. And it's a basic thing. It's nothing that we can brag about, because God is the one that should receive the glory. So remember, if there's something that God is desiring for you to do, and I'm not saying God's going to spell it out on a chalkboard or a whiteboard or on the computer for you. It just may be a moment. It may be just a thing that happens so quickly you don't know what happened. But God will be pleased at anything you do, because God loves us so much. So that is the secret of serving God. It's joy. So God still calls us to serve. Only thing we have to do is to be willing and open to do so. Shall we pray? Lord, sometimes we don't know what to do. We need guidance. We need help. And we are reluctant to call upon you for help. We say, well, I'm too exhausted, or I'm too tired, or I'm too old to do things. We know, God, that you will help us, whatever it may be, and you uniquely have created us in your image. Help us, O Lord, this week, today even, if you want us to do something for you. We give thanks always through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Our closing hymn is 280, an old familiar, Amazing Grace. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. And it's such a beautiful hymn. Even though the last verse, I was looking down and singing the Cherokee on it. I noticed it's Cherokee, Navajo, Choctaw on here. But anyway, I hope you all have a great, great week ahead and all that. And be sure to come back next Sunday and wear blue. Don't forget to wear blue next Sunday. Let's bow our heads. Lord, bless us and keep us. Look after us, O Lord, every step of the way. Be with us wherever we go and look after us as we know you will. And Lord, if you have something for us to do, help us to do it and equip us to do it too. All this we pray through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Brown church was beautiful.